Welcome to the Tripod. We break down every game every week from a punting perspective, and this is the round six recap. What a crazy round. How many close games did we have? That was certainly one positive. I'm here solo because, as you might have just seen from that screenshot, Clarkey is probably on the floor somewhere inside GIO Stadium. Well, I think I've got to start with that one. But first things first, best bets, 2-2. A pretty decent round, really. I mean, best bets is most important. 2-2 is never good. But next to most important, winning the mixed matchup, which we did. We didn't hit a same game at this round. But I think did we start 0-2 on the best bets as well? We did. So I guess to climb out of that, win the next two, win the mixed matchup. And let's just talk about Raiders Titans. Let me put the screen share straight up there and bring up this ridiculous result, 21-20. Titans, obviously the Raiders just prevailed in 90 minutes. We had two games that went the absolute distance. I can see all the comments coming in. Clarkey will be gutted. Not good for Clarkey's mental health. Titans cooked me. And sorry, guys. Oh, the Raiders have just been awarded another six again, just in the last few seconds while I was talking. So they probably got about 10 times as many as the Titans. I mean, am I salty, or is that fair to say? Like, I'll start right there. As you can see on the screen, the Titans had 4-3, more tries than the Raiders. I don't know how easy it is for me to pull up like some of the other stats, but let's have a look. 60% possession to 40. Like, you don't win a game with that amount of possession. 40 minutes to 27. The Raiders completed 87%, 47 completed sets to 32, so 15 more sets. Look at the meters, 600 more running meters. I mean, what else do we need to see here? Do they keep account of the six agains? Because I certainly lost track of that. Penalties, more penalties by the Titans, of course. Ruck infringement. I don't actually see the six agains. Maybe I'm missing it. But my point is, okay, I don't want to criticize referees, and tell me if I'm being unfair, and maybe I'm just seeing it from a Titans perspective, but it's like the referees saying, oh, the Raiders are meant to win this game. So like, oh, what's the tackle count? Oh, three. Yep, no worries. What's the tackle count? Four. Okay, set, restart. Like, the amount of times that the Raiders could bring it from their own half, get across halfway. Okay, well, across halfway, it's tackle three, four, five. It's a set, restart. Like, the amount of 10 tackle sets the Raiders had, the Raiders had all the ball, all game. So I actually thought when Kelly slotted that sideline conversion, justice was going to prevail. The Titans were going to win the game in Golden Point, which would have been, you know, utterly deserved. I mean, what else do we have to talk about that went wrong for the Titans? Jaden Campbell is out. I don't know how bad that knee injury. He looked dejected. Jaden Campbell goes out with half an hour to go. The Raiders' final try is literally off a set restart. The Titans are just denying them all game long. I should say the best bet was Titans plus 10.5. So I was certainly worried. At one stage, the score was 20-10. And the Titans had just defended for 60, 65 minutes straight. And I thought they'll get their backs broken now. That final try, yeah, the Schiller in the 68th minute, which literally is not even a clean line break. It's returning a short dropout when the Titans are trying to make something happen. I thought that could be curtains, but the Titans come back, score twice, AKP in the final 5 minutes, need a sideline conversion to get us to extra time. This is also after the Titans had a try disallowed, which looked fair enough, but it's like a 70-meter try by the Titans. I guess Brimson got through the line a little bit too easy, and so I almost wonder if he should have known that and then just gone down in the tackle. But, of course, he feeds it on, breaks a tackle, gets it to AKP, Titans score. You think they've got a kick to go in front? No, it's taken off from its penalty Raiders. Really nothing went the Titans' way in this one. And yet, it was 20-all. Let me know how you guys saw it. But, first half, the notes I made was just the whole game was played in the Titans' half. Yep, Raiders just got another set restart. Brimson was playing six. Tanner Boyd was dropped. At one stage, the tackle count was 43-6 tackles in the opponent half and 19-0 inside the 20. If you didn't catch the game, I've hopefully made it pretty clear it was all Raiders. And look, they were stronger in contact down through the middle. So they were just putting Titans under the pump. And what's funny is the Raiders' two first half tries also basically came from bombs. You had directly Schiller catching a bomb and then another bomb that was dropped by Kelly, which led to then a set restart, of course, and then ultimately a Hudson Young try. So the Raiders were dominating the game, 12-0 early. I was already copying it. Can't believe you took the start with the Titans. They're going to get thumped. And then the Titans got one set restart in the whole game, and I remember it well because they got it with 2 minutes to go in the half. Actually led to a chance to attack, and Foran gives a gem of a ball to Jolliffe, and it's 12-6 at the break, and the Titans actually have a chance. Titans score first after halftime. It's 12-10. As I said, defended set after set after set. Finally cracked. Go down by 10. You think it's over. It's not. There's a couple of tries. And look, like, it's not his fault, but Kieran Foran, like, what more do you want? Like, he can't run fast anymore. He can barely move. He limps out of every tackle. Like, you get a golden opportunity to kick the winning field goal. Like, after a line break by Brimson, you can choose when to kick it. He goes early in the set, so if it's not on, don't kick it. Eat it. Pass it to a forward. Go again. Third tackle in front of the sticks. And, like, I don't want to criticize a player when I could also really celebrate an amazing effort. Like, Chevy Stewart, or should I say Chevy Chase, in terms of his chase down. He comes in at full speed, the fullback, the youngster, 18-year-old on debut, comes through with the charge down. That was gone straight down the Hayden Little, and Stewart, no relation to Ricky, saves the game there. Charge down, Titans. Field goal attempt, of course, the Titans then knock it on, but the Titans get another chance with a minute to go, and it's a little bit further out, but it's a clean pocket. There's not even any pressure, and Foran sprays the kick. Like, you need your veteran halves to step up and take the game when it's there to be taken. So that's tough, because not only does that kick sail wide, the Titans then give up a line break, which was a little bit quirky to me, because it looked like they thought Strange ran behind his man, so they all stopped. And when they were flat-footed, then Strange just said, well, if you're not going to tackle me, I'll run around you. Ran around them. And once he got the line break inside the Titans 30, you knew how it was going to end, didn't you? And of course, Fogarty ices it, and the Raiders win 21-20. I mean, I didn't say anything positive about Canberra there, but it, you know, like, any team with those stats and with that territory should have won this game by a lot more. I feel like the better team didn't win, but is that just me? A little bit of Titans bias. I am, you know, I can understand you might sound biased, but of course, I'm cheering on the best bet too. So I saw that one through a Titans lens, as our man Clarkey sure would have. So we'll have to hear from him on Tuesday. But at least the positive is, you know, best bet winner there. The Titans remain the only winless team. I saw a comment, seriously, no update for Saints from last week. Is it St. George? I skipped ahead because I didn't want to bury the lead. Like, that was a pretty wild game to end the round. But now I will go back in time to Thursday night. There were so many tight games, so many talking points. I've, you know, got some notes that I want to share, but I'd love to hear any major takeaways from yourselves as well. Damien says Casey Badger hates the Titans. Look, they didn't get many calls their way. Let me just finish it by saying that. Okay, if we move to Thursday night, this was a game where, you know, I'm a little bit annoyed. I was so close to taking the Roosters. Of course, the line was 4.5. There was actually a +6 at $1.85 available for a few minutes, and I had it as a best bet, and then it got bet in, moved, yeah, about 7 cents on toppy just before we went live, so couldn't take it as a best bet, and I just said I lean Roosters at the 4.5, but I wasn't going to take them. I saw it ultimately being a really tight game, and I thought the difference would be the home advantage to Newcastle, the continuity that they didn't have that disruption of losing a halfback and a fullback. And I thought with both sides having a superstar fullback that KP would trump Manu. As much as I'm a massive fan of Joey Manu, like, Ponga's the form player in the competition, the reigning Dally M medalist. And of course, what happens? Ponga picks up a hip pointer injury. It directly costs the Knights a first half try. And it meant that Ponga was basically a passenger for 30 minutes in the first half. Like, they were speculating whether he should have just been taken off. But he was able to get a needle at halftime, and to KP's credit, like, actually still had some amazing moments second half and kept us in it. But am I being too harsh if I say, like, the fact is the Knights are a bit of a one-man team. So when KP was disabled in the first half and could barely move and was nothing more than a decoy, the Knights had nothing to offer. And the Roosters did a lot of their damage in that period. I also just think the Roosters are the better team. And I knew that going into this, and I have the same opinion. Like every set, it just seemed to me the Roosters were rolling through the Knights and then containing Newcastle. And it felt like just hammering a nail that they were eventually going to pull the Knights apart. I was actually surprised that the Knights made that comeback. They did leave it pretty late. The Roosters try to Tupo look to seal the game. But in a round where there were so many tight finishes, once again, like goal kicking is important. Josua Lihi, not the first choice kicker, he nails a sideline conversion to push the Roosters' lead from 6-8. That ends up being crucial because the Knights actually did score with a couple minutes to go, cut it to 2. And, I mean, people said it was a controversial game. I don't know. Like, I suppose you could say the ref swallowed his whistle at the end. In fact, there was one line break by Ponga. He definitely got pulled down a couple of times. Some people speculated that could have been a sin bin. I thought, like, you've got to blow the penalty. I know that once you're inside the opponent's half, it's usually a set restart, but I thought the refs could use discretion. Like, if it's in the last couple of minutes of a game and you're down 2, you don't want the set restart. You want the penalty. I don't know. It wasn't even given as a set restart. So the Knights perilously close. But, yeah, ultimately, if you say to me, like, the game was going to come down to which fullback outplayed the other, well, KP, as I said, was very diminished for nearly half the game, while Manu had one of the games of his life, 370 run meters. So that was the difference, the two superstars. And it was Manu that led the Roosters to a narrow but important win because that snapped a couple-game losing streak for the Chooks. The next game you can actually see on the screen was another nail-biter, an unexpected one, because this was the largest line of the season, Storm Bulldogs. And the Storm only winning 16-14, and it is 3 tries each. So as I said, line was 18.5 when I did the preview on Tuesday. And I did say, if the Dogs lineup remains as is, that's too many points for the Bulldogs. But the injury report was Tracy had a torn calf, Kickalm has a suspected fractured fibula. Like, I really thought a lot of Dogs players were going to come out of that lineup, and I think the bookies thought so as well. In the end, the line actually came down a little bit when it was only like Max King that got withdrawn. Other than that, the Bulldogs, yeah, they did pretty well with injuries, really. And they came to play against the Storm. I mean, it didn't go the Dogs' way early. Storm were up 10-0 at halftime. And you knew that Storm, you know, long turnaround at home. I don't think the Storm have lost a game at home since the Dogs got them in like round 3 last year. So it's an absolute fortress, Amy Park. But then just the Dogs' ability to turn that game. I mean, from down 10-0, they scored 3 straight tries, all 3 to the Fox. That's after the Dogs had a sin bin, which you thought might put it out of reach. It was Hughes. But shortly after that, the Dogs made a break and Crichton sells it a little bit to get Puppy in the bin. And the Dogs score twice more with 12 on 12. And again, it's goal kicking because twice, I know the first Adokar try is a breakaway. And he scores close to the sticks, and the Dogs score that. The Dogs convert that. But 2 more Adokar tries, obviously, on the left wing. Burton's a pretty sweet left boot there, and misses them both, you know. And you're up only 4 when you could have been up 6 or even 8. And sure enough, the Storm get the final try. Sean Bloor goes over, and that's close to the post, and Storm nail that and are able to hold on. And I want to shout out a guy like Bronson Cherry. And it was Cherry's mistake, dropping a – can't remember, he dropped a bomb or he just dropped it in the play the ball or very early in the tackle count on his own 20, that when the Dogs had done all the hard work to get in front, Cherry's error leads to the Storm winning try. But I genuinely want to shout out Bronson Cherry because I'm watching this game thinking like he made a mistake, sure, with what his decision he made. But to get 4 years – like, that's going to wipe out many careers. And a lot of people would probably give it away and think, I've got to find a new career. But for him to gut it out, stick at it, to make his way back to NRL, he had a great game. And he had, like, not only is Cherry a damaging runner, but some class touches too that were able to get the ball to Adokar. I mean, Kiraz is also a star. And on the other wing, I think he had nearly 300 metres. So tough one for the Bulldogs because they did enough to win that. It, you know, comes down to goal kicking, but also that's the third game this season that the Storm have been down inside the final 10 minutes and they've come back and won it. Obviously, the Warriors game, remember, Brisbane last week as well. So I know the Storm are pretty good and tough to beat at home, but they're finding a way to pull out these narrow victories too. I'm not sure if just no one's commented for a while or if my feed has frozen there. Hopefully you can see me. Please let me know if you can. Let me keep scrolling the graphic. Here's the first best bet of the round, and this was a loss. And I do feel a bit hard done by, but, you know, maybe I got it wrong. I know I've gone against Brisbane the last couple of weeks and come up snake eyes. Yep, comments are still coming through. Cheers, guys. So in this case, I took the Dolphins plus 10.5, and they lost 28-14. I mean, Flegler, yeah, I knew he did hurt his shoulder, but he's named on Tuesday, then gets ruled out. So that's the Dolphins' best forward. Then you hear Ricky has sprained his ankle at training. He's not in. Except somehow Ricky makes a miraculous comeback and does play for the Broncos. Nevertheless, even after the Finns lose their best forward, the line actually closes 8.5 or 9.5. So we get a 10.5, and there was a good chance Flegler could play at that point. So, again, closing line value counts for very little. If I'm giving you a bet that is consistently 2 points shorter or inferior by the time it kicks off in terms of line value, then long term we're gonna profit. Like, when I say inferior, I mean it moves the other way, so we've got a superior line, but it doesn't count for much in any one game where the result doesn't go your way. But what I have to have a whinge about is, like, I bet on Brisbane. Remember, I took Brisbane down in Penrith a few weeks ago, and nobody knew Haas had an injury, but he got ruled out that week. And then 5 minutes in, Reece Walsh got injured and Brisbane had like no chance. And then this time I bet against Brisbane. Well, I lose my best forward pre-game or during the week in Flegler. And then they lose Hammer 20 minutes in, which is their best backline player. And that says a lot about limiting the Dolphins' attack. So, you know, it's pretty brutal. These are the most important players for the Dolphins, and you still only lost the bet by 4 points. And in fact, that's how much we also lost the same game. I had a $10 same game. I had unders. I had a Jermaine Asako try with the better same gamer, but I also had either team 1-10. And as I said, Brisbane wins by 14. Not only that, the way that Brisbane scored their tries, I did feel was pretty unlucky. Like, I hate to use words like luck or bad luck when in the long term it's going to shake both ways. And I'll talk about where it went our way this round. But, like, Brisbane scored off a bomb, dropped bomb. Okay, so did the Dolphins. Fair enough. You want to cancel them out. But Brisbane scored two tries 5 minutes apart from the Dolphins dropping the ball in attack inside the Broncos 20, and the Broncos pick it up and take it back the other way for a length of the field try. There's one where Walsh scores and there's one where Cobbo scores. And if you want to, you know, say that's my bad read, like, look, the Broncos have explosive outside backs, players like including Katoni Staggs, but also aforementioned Walsh, Cobbo. Like, those guys hurt you when you make a mistake. They hurt you when you give them space. So that's part and parcel of betting against Brisbane, I suppose, that those moments will go against you. But pretty brutal to cop not one but two return length of the field tries off Dolphins spilled balls. Like, there's literally one where the Dolphins put up a kick. Dolphins mark the ball, throw it in field, and the Dolphins winger nearly scoops it and I think could have scored and instead spills it, and it ends up in Walsh's hands, and it's like it's 6 points the other way and very demoralizing at that stage of the game. So ultimately Brisbane deserves to win. I'm just probably complaining about whether that margin could have just been a little bit tighter. But nevertheless, we lost that one. And yeah, those back-to-back tries, I think, was the difference. Brisbane's always hard to beat at home. But I also think the Dolphins lost a lot from the point of which Hamiso was ruled out of the game. They did score a couple of tries late, but went like 50 minutes in this game without being able to score a try. So that's the main reason why they couldn't come closer and win this game. Moving to Saturday, we get another wild one. Unfortunately, I'm on the wrong side of it from a best bet perspective again. What I will just say about that is, once again, we get the closing line value. We can't eat the value. It counts for very little, but I would play that bet again. Like, I felt the Warriors are the better team. There's no Garrick, no Saab, no Brown. I feel like that New Zealand home advantage is worth very close to 4 points. And the line was 5.5. It closes 7.5, which is a significant move going all the way through the six. But it doesn't count for a lot when you look up and after half an hour, Manly are winning the game 16-0. And I'll give credit to all the people that challenged me and said, you've got to stop being against Manly. Manly's in this. Manly are absolutely a match for New Zealand. The Undertaker was beating that drum. And part of me is thinking, well, Undertaker's a diehard Seagulls fan. We had lots of like robust debates about it, but it's great. I love to debate it. And I'm just saying all the reasons why I feel the line should be this and why I think it's a great bet and why I believe we're on the right side. And Maddie's going the other way and why he waited till the line got to 7.5 and took Manly. And that's, you know, I think that's great to have that discussion and plenty of people can chime in and also just read it and see what you make of it. You can decide which side of it you fall on. But this game had some twists and turns after that 16-0 start. So DCE, you know, silences the crowd, scores the first two tries of the game. And someone in our group commented that they had a same game up, DCE for a hat-trick, 2,500 to 1 as well. So people were very interested in that one. But obviously once New Zealand falls down 16-0 and they're a little bit shell-shocked, I'm thinking the best bet is long odds at that point. However, New Zealand scores with 3 minutes before halftime and then gets an intercept try on the stroke of halftime. So it's only 16-10, so it's anybody's game. However, it's Manly that extends their lead again and in the second half gets it out to 12. And again, you've got to talk about goal kicking because Sean Johnson scores a try that gives New Zealand the opportunity to cut it to a one-score game, and Johnson misses the conversion from close to in front, which meant that the margin remained at 8, not 6, which was very crucial because the Warriors scored with 1 minute to go. So I'm like 90 seconds to go. Manly are up 8. The Warriors are on the attack. They end up being able to spin it to who else but DWZ, who returned for the Warriors, strengthening them as well. And then it's like with 60 seconds to go, I'm always uncertain exactly how the clock's going to play. Like, sometimes it feels like the team still loses 20 or 30 seconds. As Undertaker says, I question DC's goal kicking, and he did drill at least one from the sideline, of course. But, yeah, I'm thinking, does New Zealand just forego the conversion because you don't want to lose like 20, 30 seconds? You want a full set to try and score a try. But somehow Johnson lines it up. The clock's not ticking, and then just drills a sideline conversion and like 3 seconds go off the clock. So New Zealand ends up with the ball with 50 seconds to go, down only 2. You know you're going to set up for a two-point field goal. New Zealand gets it just over halfway. Johnson with the shot. And, of course, Manly are scrambling to try and charge it down. And there's contact on Sean Johnson. The kick sprays out to the side. But some people didn't like the call. For me, I think that's how they call it these days. They protect kickers a lot more than ever before. And there's a follow-through, so I can't recall the Warriors player that was trying to charge down. There was a couple, but one of them, it is unlucky because Johnson's leg obviously like follows through with the ball, and then the Manly player's path just comes through and takes out the leg. You know, I didn't think it was highly dangerous, but I thought it was enough to warrant a penalty, and you get the penalty from where the ball lands. So basically the Warriors get a free 2 points that sends it to extra time. As Blanchie said, ball should be stopped every stoppage in the last 5 minutes. And I agree, just stop it completely. It's really weird how, like, sometimes I'll let it run a bit further. And then when the kicker is lining up, like, sometimes the clock is running, sometimes it's not. So, and you wonder if home teams get an advantage there if the clock attendant is on the ball. Anyway, so we get to extra time. It's very tight. No one wants to lose it. DCE gets a shot. It's online, but it's short. New Zealand, I thought, could have won it at the end of the first period, but Tohu Harris dropped the ball in the play the ball, and they were only like 20 out. They would have definitely been able to line up and have a shot. I kept thinking for Manly, where's Luke Brooks? Like, they were too conservative going one out on a lot of their sets. And I really felt like switch it left. You got Brooksy, who we know loves to run it. You got Turbo, who can sweep out the back there. Like, make something happen. But I suppose there was a bit of rain. And at that point, you're kind of in shock, like you don't want to lose the game. And look, nobody's happy with a draw, but it's kind of a decent point for both sides. Of course, you always say you got to wait till the end of the season and look at the ladder and then decide, was it a good point or a bad point, depending on where you finish up. But from this perspective, Manly comes in the underdog, travels to New Zealand to get a draw is a good performance and is a good result. And from New Zealand's perspective, you got to say, well, we were down 16-0 and we were down 8 with 90 seconds to go. To get a draw, you've salvaged something. Where you could have easily lost. again, if you want me to answer for the best bet, like I'll take that again, knowing what I knew going in. You know, you can say, look, have I underrated Manly? I think a little bit I have, but again, off a big emotional game at home, and then you go across the Tasman, no Garrick, no Saab. I thought New Zealand's a better team. You know, I'll roll with bets like that all the time. If you disagree with me, that's why I share the premise of my bet. You might say, well, Jacob's basing this bet on thinking New Zealand is a better team than Manly. I don't agree with that. So therefore, I don't agree with the bet. You know, hopefully that's why it helps that there's no mystery. I really try and explain it. And I feel like people are forgetting that just in the last month, I also backed Parra to beat Manly in that one. I also backed Dragons against Manly, and Dragons thumped them. You know, everyone seems to recall the Roosters game and obviously the one yesterday letting me know about it. But I've actually won more best bets than I've lost on Manly games this year. So, look, but I copped that one because it was a lot closer than I expected. I thought the Warriors would be in control. They were anything but. Next up, I don't even really need to scroll. You can see that there, Eels 27 defeated the Cowboys 20. As James Graham, shout out the bye round, says time management dodgy. Also, it is worth mentioning, yeah, Manly lost Croker, which didn't help for sure. Look, first thing I'll say is, where was this Parramatta a week ago? You know, in Canberra, where they're awful, when they get 40 put on them here, but we got back to the Parramatta that I kind of believe in. And I would have played them, I think, if that line could have just crept a bit higher. I thought, like, a short line, Parra plus 3.5, the bookies weren't doing you any favours, and maybe the bookies had that extra respect for Parra, because I think on face value, the Cowboys looked the more enticing bet, but it doesn't always work out that way every game. It was Parra that I thought was the stronger side, like back to what they love to do, offloading the ball, deliberate and desperate in defence. A team that really, really wanted to right the wrongs of the last couple of weeks with an upset loss to Tigers and then a blowout loss in Canberra, get that win. And it was a team effort. I mean, you can't single out anyone. The spine, like Gutho, again, as always, Dylan Brown was excellent. Arzy, season debut, scores the key try, kicks the field goal at the end. But Lussick, Hopgood were all impressive as well. What do you say about North Queensland? Their defence, it lets them down in some of these games. That seems to be the shortcoming of the Cowboys. And if they can get that right, I think they probably still can be a top four team. But I looked at like one stat that really stood out to me, because I felt like the Eels were winning the collisions. Ineffective tackles, Cowboys 22, Parramatta 4. That pretty much tells you everything right there. Now we got another game. I said this was a round of close games. Cronulla beat the Rabbitohs 34-22. This game was a lot closer than I wanted it to be, but we got the wins with the best bet, -7.5 with Cronulla. And again, that was three best bets in a row for the round where we beat the market by a significant amount. -7.5 we played. It went through 8.5. It went through 10.5. And yet we needed a bunny spilled ball in their own in goal and Sharky's pouncing on it with 90 seconds to go to win that best bet. Like, remember how often we've mentioned now that the bunnies haven't covered a game for 13 straight NRL matches. And this was nearly that first cover, because the margin was 28-22. And why that would have been even more brutal is that the mixed matchup was Sharks to outscore Broncos, and the Broncos scored exactly 28. So then when the Sharkies were sitting on 28, we would have lost on a tie. And when the Rabbitohs cut the lead to 6, we would have gone down in the best bet by 1.5 points. And I even thought at one stage when it was 28-22, Nico's going to slot a field goal here for sure, which would have actually won us the best bet. So would have been least good on that front. But then would have won us the mixed matchup, but the best bet would have gone down by 0.5 point. So that's what I thought was going to happen. After Cronulla had no right not to win the game. You're up 16-6 at halftime. Mulatalo's got a double and he had an outstanding assist off a bomb and then offloading for the other try. And I want to talk about everything that went wrong for Souths, because I always whinge when stuff goes wrong for my team. But I've got to admit, every break went our way in this game. Everything went against the Rabbitohs. Tyrone Munro is back. First game of the season, breaks his collarbone early. Totola's out early. I believe it was a knee. Correct me if I'm wrong. Jai Gray. We get to have a look at Jai Gray in carving up New South Wales Cup, and he was unreal. I mean, Vossi called him the Roadrunner. I thought that was really appropriate. What an energy boost. I'm already starting to think if Gray keeps carving up for the next 2 weeks, Latrell needs to come back and play centre. I think that makes you a more explosive team. But at one stage, Jack Whiten had to go back and cover fullback because Jai Gray got a HIA. He did return from it at least. But then the biggest of all, Cam Murray fails an HIA, and that's after he had to slot to left centre and gets hit by Katoa jamming in. There was no sin bin for it and no send-off, of course, but I didn't think there was anything wrong with the hit. I did not see contact to Murray's head. I almost wondered if he somehow got a concussion from, like, the whiplash of the tackle. I don't know. Saw some people that were saying, well, because Murray was wiped out for the game and it was a penalty, it should have been a harsher call on Katoa. That could have been a game changer if there was more action taken on Katoa. But in any case, like, South's had every right to fold with all those players out and with Cronulla building that lead. And at one stage, the lead was, 28-12. And then suddenly the Bunnies keep coming. It's like the more that went wrong, the harder they fought. Suddenly Souths are back to 28-22, have a chance to level the game, which would have just been absolutely gut-wrenching for my bets, as I said. Mixed matchup and best bet just needed one more moment. And you know what else irks me? There's a really obvious, blatant 3-on-1 strip on Nico where the Bunnies ripped the ball out. If the Sharks had got that penalty, they definitely would have taken the two. And the ref just called play on. I didn't know you could just say play on if it's a like more than two in the tackle strip. I thought that had to be a penalty. Anyway, doesn't matter now because we got that win there. But the fight back actually started to raise questions about whether that justifies Demetrio's position. You know, whether now they're going to a bye. Like you couldn't. You went into the game saying the Bunnies had to win to save JD's job. You come out of the game saying that was probably the toughest effort by Souths all season. You know, it doesn't show on the scoreboard, but honestly, they made us very nervous, and a lot of teams would have folded and given up a lot more than what the Rabbitohs did in that one. So where does that leave JD? I feel like they've probably come too far at this point, but you have to say if the Rabbitohs' performance was going to be a measure of how much they care for their coach, it was a 10 out of 10 effort. It just wasn't South's night, and I'll take it. I had a bet on against a team that had a horrible run of luck that night, so that was crucial because we needed it to get a couple of those victories. Moving to Sunday, I think this score probably surprised people. It was a toss-up. Let us know who you tipped and what you thought, because to me, like, the Tigers were basically not in the game. I mean, my first takeaway is, like, what a weapon Zach Lomax is under the high ball. You know, he's either taking them and scoring or setting up a try or coming damn close every week. Scores in the first minute, has another one that he skies and grabs and assists Flanagan. Dragons are up 16-6 halftime. You know, I thought Sullivan had a decent game. I think he had a really nice pass for the opening try to Uto Kamanu, but I do feel like Wes are missing something. So did Galvin get 2 or 3 weeks? He's back. He's either back this week or next. I do feel like Wes need him back there. And also just felt like the Tigers never built any pressure in this game. And it was probably because the Dragons won the middle. You know, I looked at Molo, Sele, Eisenhuth, really powerful. And you got Laurie and Jack DeBellin off the bench. It just keeps coming. Like, the Dragons had the stronger middles, and that was the challenge for Wes, and they couldn't meet it. I feel like Wes never really got a sniff, and that is disappointing when you consider, you know, a great win over Cronulla, who are top of the table right now. You beat Parramatta, close game against the Finns, that's excusable, but you're here, you're at home at Campbelltown, sold out, and you're down as much as 24-6. That is... that's what you get out of bottom four, bottom six sides. Like, you don't get the consistency, even if you see what they're capable of. And West are capable of a lot more than they showed today. And it is kind of typical Dragons that they don't wow you. They're not going to blow anyone away with talent, but they're going to win here and there just by outworking their opponent. Ryan says, lean Tigers early, but they didn't really show up. I mean, even Luciano Lelua was ruled out for Dragons, right? So kind of, Yeah, it seemed to be. I mean, I got it wrong because I tipped the Tigers, but not enough value to me that to suggest it was the best bet at least. So no harm done there. And then already waxed lyrical about the Raiders 21 over 20. So if you came late, send it in rewind and jump into the beginning. You'll hear my passionate and, you know, kind of aggravated thoughts on that game. You know, of course I wanted to see the Titans win. I copped so much this week and taking the Titans as the best bet, and people tell me they had no hope at all with the 10 and a half, let alone to win. And I feel Titans should have won the game, but let's leave it there. I love it when footy's competitive, and you know, what can you say that the game this afternoon was disappointing, but Raiders, even Sharks game is one try in it with five to go. Eels Cowboys certainly was close. Warriors Seagulls, Broncos Dolphins, not so much, but Storm Dogs, Knights Roosters, like five or six really tight competitive matches this round. You love to see it. So hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you came out of it with a little bit of profit. If you did, you know, if you followed the best bets mixed matchup, could have been better. But as I say, from starting the weekend in a hole to climb out of that, we can recover. We're 13 and 11 now on best bets. We're 3-3 on mixed matchups when that's plus odds every week. It's not great at all, but not too bad either. And I still feel like more often than not, these key players are coming out of the game on the wrong side of the ledger as far as we're concerned. Maybe it turns, maybe it doesn't. I can't control that. I'll control what I can control, which is work hard, prepare, and try and come at it for round 7, where Clarkie will join me and find some of the best bets that I can see on the board. Thank you to everyone who tuned in live, or if you're catching this later, I appreciate you. Hope you have a great week, and I'll see you on Tuesday. Lego.